Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature the top experts on all things tax to help you understand, navigate, and resolve all your tax-related issues. Now, let's get started with the show.
Hi, I'm Alan Rulnick, the host of the Tax Resolution Ninja Show, where we feature guests and talk about issues from all walks of life, from taxes to health to economics, personal finance, sales and marketing, employment, and many more that are too numerous to name. Some of the past guests on my show have been Jeffrey Steiner, Eric Cohen, Adrian Miller, Sylvia Heyman, Alex Kuhn, Evan Rabin, Samuel Wiener, Robert Hernandez, Nancy Schick, Jerry Nyland, and Fernando Coats. This episode is brought to you by Tri-State Tax Resolution. Tri-State Tax Resolution runs the Tax Emergency and Trauma Room for people and businesses who are having problems with the IRS and the various state departments of taxation. Most people in business show up at our door when the IRS and the state departments of taxation show up their door. Case in point, client called before the IRS went into enforcement act mode. The client received a notice of adjustment to the 2018 tax return. The IRS was asking the client to agree to pay an additional $147,000 in tax, interest, and penalties, because the client did not report the sale of their house on their tax return. The IRS was right. The client did not report the sale of their house. What the IRS did not do was give the client credit for the home sale tax exclusion of $500,000. I got on the phone with the IRS, explained the situation to the agent. I was able to have the additional tax plus the interest and penalties removed, and the case was closed. It does not always go so easily. In this case, it helped that the client called me as soon as the letter was received. The result, the client didn't have to pay the $147,000 in additional taxes, interest, and penalties, plus the $35,000 in state taxes and higher fees to me because they chose to get in front of the problem right away and call me. Tri-State Tax Resolution aims to give you peace of mind and release you from the shackles of tax debt. If you have a tax problem, do not wait until the IRS starts enforcement action. Get in front of it now. You will save money and relieve the pain that you will have if you wait. Visit our website at www.tristatetaxresolution.com or call us at 718-841-7317 to permanently fix your tax problem and save your financial life. I have with me today, as my guest, Terrell Turner. Terrell is the founder of the T.L. Turner Group and the host of the Business Tax Library. He is concerned about how other businesses are going to survive and grow in this new COVID world. Thank you for joining me, Terrell. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, from what I've read about you on LinkedIn and other places, are you a practicing CPA in the traditional sense?
Not in the traditional sense. My focus is a little bit more on CFO services for small and medium sized businesses.
Okay, and how did you get started in that?
Yeah, so my background is very similar to most typical accountants. I mean, I left school, went into public accounting, did auditing for a couple of years, and then I moved over to industry. And that's where I started to marry my accounting background with, you know, operational execution. So working with non-finance team members, so working with sales teams, working with purchasing teams and operations team, and helping them understand the accounting and the finance implication of the decisions that they were making.
Okay, so you know the world has changed since March. How are you advising clients these days?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of what I do is working with clients to help them, like I said, understand the financial impact. And part of that is understanding the accounting, the tax side. So I'm constantly working with tax specialists to understand that side and to bridge the gap. And so a lot of what I'm advising clients on is, you know, start moving the accounting consulting, move it well closer to the front end of their decision making, because you know, what I've seen is to be a bad habit is a lot of times, you know, business owners make a decision and then they want to talk to their accountant afterwards, or they want to talk to their accountant when it's time to do taxes. And what I tell them is, you know, you're probably missing a whole lot of opportunity talking to them on the back end. Let's move it to the front end.
But they always do that, don't they? I mean, it's amazing. You know, I'll get a call saying, sold my house or something. And then I find out that they already did it before they asked me the question. Well, too late now, buddy, because, you know, once the transaction happens, nothing you can do. You know, it's like the people who wait until March 1st to find to call you to get their tax work done. What would you like me to do? I mean, you know, what would you like me to do to help you? You know, you did it after the end of, you're calling me after the end of the year. You should be doing this all along. You know, planning this thing out before you do your transactions. Amazing. They do this. So how do you get the average, I mean, a small business guy? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about a regional business, but a small local guy to understand, you know, his financials.
Yeah. So one of the things that, I mean, I definitely always start out with is the financial statements and just kind of, and once you've seen enough financial statements, you know, you get a gist of how it works or whatever. So once I take a look at their financials, then I start to look at it, maybe do some vertical analysis, maybe compare it to either their local industry or just look at what their trends look like, and then start to give them some healthy insight. Like, for example, you know, I was talking with a restaurant owner and was looking at their financials and just saw, you know, what direction their revenue was going. Revenue was going up, but their gross margin looked like it was staying flat. And in some months it was dipping. And I'm like, okay, all right, if sales are going up, your gross margin, I'm like, are you selling? And I was like, you know, let me look at what they're actually selling. So once I started to dig into the numbers a little bit, then I was able to quickly realize, oh, you're selling your least profitable product is the one that you've been marketing more. And so going into that thing, like, all right, if you keep selling that product, you know, it may be a popular one because you're marketing it now, but you're not making as much money. So helping them understand the trade-offs for that decision. And, you know, pretty much immediately what they started doing is I said, hey, here, this item on your menu is actually more profitable and is popular. So market that instead. And immediately within a month, they started seeing their number, their sales were still going up, but their gross margin started going up too, because they started marketing, you know, the more profitable. And I think doing quick exercises like that helps them see, like, hey, you know what? There is some value in looking at these numbers.
So, you know, it's like putting your best products in the back of the store, and all the stuff that doesn't bring you enough margin. You're leaving that in the front of the store for people to see first, and it's just, you know, to get somebody to do that. It's like pulling teeth. What kind of businesses do you get yourself involved with?
Yeah, so I've been working a bit more of and seeing increase in with restaurants. And so I started off with just helping one client, and then, you know, that has morphed into, like, you know, three clients in the restaurant industry, and they're all ones that have multiple locations. And so they're in expansion mode. So what I usually say is I usually focus on clients that are trying to expand, because I think that's where I always tell them you need to talk to your accountant or your finance person as you're expanding, because one of the things you don't want to do is start making decisions and realize you put yourself in a bad spot. Like, you know, when I talked with some companies about, you know, before you sign that lease, let's actually think through, are you going to have enough customer volume to, you know, support this new location? Or is there a better location, or can we negotiate on the price? Or even before you start just hiring a bunch of people, it's just like, hey, you do realize you're going to have to generate enough business to be able to pay them, plus run the business, plus generate a profit. And it's like, do you really have, you know, the business model and the structure, and will your decision be supported? And so I usually work with companies that are growing, that are kind of trying to navigate those transactions, whether they're trying to expand their business, whether they're trying to add new locations, or they're trying to bring on new employees. Is really helping them model that out and see what is that going to look like, so we know that we're going into it informed.
How has COVID affected the restaurants that you're dealing with?
Yeah, so I mean, it's definitely caused a huge dramatic impact to where they're seeing customer volume drop off. And, you know, that's a huge challenge. There is no, for many of them, there's no easy solution, because now you have, you know, whether depending on what state or what city you're in, I mean, that's going to drastically impact, like, you know, right, what your capacity can be. I mean, even with the social distancing, having to invest in that. And that's where we start talking about, hey, we need to make sure we talk with our, you know, the tax firm that is going to handle the tax side of the business, to make sure that, hey, we're accounting for that investment properly. So whether it's the depreciation or the full write-off there, so we make sure we're covered there. But I think one of the things that we've started to pivot is to do more partnerships. Yeah. So one of my clients, one of the things that we did is we looked at getting them into a food truck. So adding that to their existing restaurant, and, you know, it served two purposes. It allowed us to take the food to the customers because you couldn't get as many people in a restaurant. But, you know, with some relationships with bigger box office stores that, you know, now they have vacant parking lots. So we, you know, we just develop a relationship partnership with them, allow them to park the food truck there. And what we've seen is it's been about a 24% increase in their revenue by adding the food truck to the business. So that food truck has allowed them to close the gap on what they lost from the lack of in-store volume.
Right. I know here in New York, it's like really rough there. The outdoor dining is they've taken parking spaces in the street and you know, put tables and put a small tent up, and so that they're doing it that way. They just opened up the indoor stuff in the city here, maybe about a month ago, and the capacity I think is like maybe 25% of what they would normally do. But you know, with COVID back on the rise again, you know, I don't know what it's going to do if they have to shut them down at this point, because it's just awful. I don't even know how many have actually closed up for good, and yeah, and you know, won't reopen. You know, again, it's been a rough deal. What other industries have you found that with COVID's affected their profitability?
Yeah, I think a lot of the service type businesses, whether it's they're providing, you know, consulting, like one of my clients, they actually do consulting for manufacturing companies where they help them come in and they're like black belt certified in Six Sigma. So they help them, you know, streamline some of their processes with change management. And it's just, you know, when you're in the service business and a lot of your relationship usually happens in person, I mean, with COVID, I mean, they're not able to do that. So them having to pivot to either doing it via Zoom or some other type of video technology or doing teleconferencing. So them having to switch their attention to doing teleconferencing, which has then gotten into, you know, tax topics of, well, before we used to do this in person, we used to travel to do this. Now we're having to make these additional investments to bring more equipment and stuff in our home to be able to do this from home, to where then I'm like, okay, all right, now we need to bring the tax firm that supports your business for the tax return, bring them into the conversation to say, hey, these are the decisions you're making because you aren't able to travel there. But I think just being able to focus in on making sure you're hitting the deliverables. And what has really caused a lot of my clients to do is to actually start thinking more like a finance person. Because one of the things I tell them is the way finance people think is, I mean, we think in terms of metrics and numbers, like, can we measure the progress that we're doing? And it's like, you have to start using that mindset with your clients. So although you're not there in person, you can show and walk your client through the metrics that you are impacting for their business so they can continue to see the value that you're delivering.
You do the you do the financial end of their operation. Do you bring somebody in to do the the tax end?
Yeah, so we usually do work on bringing someone else in on the tax end. And one of the things that I always tell my clients is, you know, it's always like I don't specialize in tax. So I was like, you know, it's always good to bring in someone who does specialize in that, who and to get a second set of eyes on it, because what part of my focus is developing like the FP&A, the forecasting, the modeling aspect of it. So I'm like, it's good to have someone who does specialize in tax to get their input on it.
And you coordinate your financial stuff with the tax person?
Yes.
Okay, so you both basically, hopefully at the end of the day you're on the same page, you know, where the client is profitable but his tax bill is reasonable or you're not paying over the top.
Absolutely.
How often does your tax people come in?
So the tax people, usually I try to have some communication with them on a quarterly basis. Now we don't really have some of them don't have an in-depth conversation on a quarterly basis, but I at least try to send them some type of communication, whether it's an email or something, to let them know, hey, this is what's going on, or hey, here's the latest update. Or if a question comes up, like, hey, here's a question, want to make sure that you're involved in the conversation about it. But a lot of them usually have, you know, either semi-annually, or I guess you say twice a year, or like once a year, where you do have the more of the deeper conversation on what's going on with the tax person.
Right. Now, most of your businesses are they sole proprietors or small S corps or LLCs?
LLCs and small S corps.
Okay. All right. So I was looking on one. I think was it your website? Not the website. It was LinkedIn. I mean, I see you're hiring one of your children. How's that working out?
Well, it may be. I'm trying to think of what post that might have been.
I just saw it the other day. I was thumbing through. And I see you're having this discussion with, it's your older one?
Oh, that might have been, that was actually a friend's post that they're hiring one of their children. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those interesting things where, like I say, we're talking with family. I think as some people start to learn about, you know, like the kitty tax and then also just that opportunity to teach their children, you know, some of those basic lessons of, hey, earning money versus just, you know, taking and getting it from mom and dad.
Right.
Just like you need to become part of the process.
It's taken me a long time to get it through my daughter's head, you know, but she still doesn't quite get it. One last question. What's your favorite book?
Yeah. So my favorite book, I would have to say is probably the Traveler's Gift. It's a book by Andy Andrews. And I like it. I mean, I guess it would fall kind of in the self-help category. I mean, it's a book where it's a guy who's in sales, and I mean, he just got laid off from his job, and he's trying to figure out how to, you know, take care of his family. And then Andy Andrews does, I think, a good job of having him go through this experience. It's almost like in the movie The Christmas Carol, where, you know, the ghosts of the past, the present, the future, right, come visit him, right, to where he has these different characters, these different historical figures that show up and help him understand, you know, seven critical lessons in his life. And it really gets him to a decision point of just like, hey, although you've just gotten laid off from your job, you got a family to take care of and all of this stuff to figure out, you still have seven critical choices you got to make on how you're going to move forward and get through this. And I think it's so relevant to now, to where, you know, COVID has hit, it's drastically changed people's, right, businesses, their jobs, their lives, but there's still some critical decisions that we can make about going forward and how we're going to tell the rest of the story based on what we do.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what we have to do. We have to move forward, because otherwise you're just going to, sit there and float away. And you really do not want to find yourself in that position. You just got to we got to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. And it's difficult because, you know, people have gotten sick and all sorts of things. So you just got to move on. I mean, it's just the cycle of life, so to speak.
Absolutely.
I wanted to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule for being on my podcast. And I hope we can do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
For other episodes, you can visit Apple Podcast, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other venues to listen to my previous shows. Take care and have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Tax Resolution Ninja Show. Be sure to click subscribe to get updates on our latest episodes.